Parenting is hard enough for two people. Imagine what it's like as a solo endeavor. All of those responsibilities, trying to assume basically two roles, father and a mother, while at the same time dealing with the grief, the loss, the rejection, sometimes from church people, as well as family members. The loneliness, the guilt, the fear that comes along with that. Some of us, frankly, have no idea.
Being a single parent isn't easy, but it is becoming increasingly common, evident by the 14 million single moms and dads in the U.S. Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzik reminds us that the church body needs to be there to help single parents. But first, we love hearing how The Connection is impacting your life. Here's a letter we received from a listener.
Hi, Skip. Thank you so much for the timely devotional today. Our world is so troubled, but God's mercies are new every morning. I knew that, but it's so comforting to be reminded. I thank God for your ministry I receive via Roku and your devotionals on Tuesdays on my cell. Blessings. Signed, Barbara.
Our listeners are a vital part of helping this ministry reach people around the globe with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you've been impacted by Skip Heitzik's teachings, we want to ask you to consider taking the opportunity to return that blessing by supporting the ministry of The Connection. Right now on your computer, tablet, or phone, make a one-time donation at connectiononline.org/give or call us at 800-922-1888.
Now, mark your Bible in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 2 Timothy chapter 1 today as we begin our study with Pastor Skip.
There was a Hollywood cocktail party. The guests were arriving, mingling with other guests, exchanging stories. And they had all the typical Hollywood stories, but there was one woman that caught everybody's attention. In fact, she was sort of the highlight of the evening because her story was so amazing. She had been married and divorced three times and was presently married to her fourth husband. Her first husband was, being in Hollywood, a millionaire. She divorced him and married a local actor from Hollywood. That was husband number two. They divorced. Third husband was a minister of a local church. She divorced him, and now she was on her fourth husband, a funeral director. And so people, just out of curiosity, said, "Now why did you marry those professions?" She said, "Easy. I married number one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four, the funeral director, to go." Now, that's just a story, but unfortunately, there's a lot of truth behind lots of other stories that are like that one, where in the wake of such behavior, our devastated children, angry and sometimes bitter adults, and plenty of hurt. So far, in this series called The House That God Builds, we've spent several weeks in it, by the way, we've sort of dealt with just the ideal family, God's pattern. One man, one woman, one lifetime. We've looked at God's pattern from the beginning. We've discussed the roles in that family of husband, wife, children, raising children by parents. But there is a segment that is a growing and large segment of our population that we haven't dealt with and we're going to tonight. It's the single parent. Now, parenting is hard enough for two people. Imagine what it's like as a solo endeavor. All of those responsibilities, trying to assume basically two roles, father and a mother, while at the same time dealing with the grief, the loss, the rejection, sometimes from church people, as well as family members. The loneliness, the guilt, the fear that comes along with that. Some of us, frankly, have no idea. I found a want ad, so to speak. At least this was an illustration couched in the language of a want ad. Position vacant, parent. And there's four areas in this one ad: job description, responsibilities, possibility for advancement and promotion, and wages and compensation. Listen to it. Job description, long-term work in chaotic environment. Candidates must be willing to work various hours, including evenings, weekends, and sometimes 24-hour shifts. Some overnight travel is required, including primitive camping sites and endless sports tournaments in faraway cities. Travel expenses not reimbursed. Extensive courier duties also required. Responsibilities must be willing to be hated, at least temporarily, until somebody needs $5 to go skating. Must be willing to bite tongue repeatedly. Also must possess the physical stamina of a pack mule. Must be willing to face technical challenges, like small gadget repair, mysteriously sluggish toilets, and stuck zippers. Must screen phone calls, maintain calendars, coordinate production of multiple homework projects. Must handle assembly and product safety testing of 500,000 cheap plastic toys and battery-operated devices. Responsibilities also include floor maintenance, janitorial work throughout the facility. Possibility for advancement and promotion? Virtually none. Your job is to remain in the same position for years without complaining, constantly retaining and updating your skills. Wages and compensation? You pay them. Offering frequent raises and bonuses. A balloon payment is due when they turn 18 because of the assumption that college will help them become financially independent. When you die, you give them whatever's left. That's the deal. Now imagine doing all of that alone without the help of somebody else. And we're going to consider that role tonight and what the church can do to help that role. Now, I've had you turn to two passages of Scripture, which we're going to get to, but they're sort of an umbrella text. We're going to refer to it. It's a great one, especially when you speak about single parenting. It's in Psalm 68, where God is described, as we've already seen in this video, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. Now, you probably just found it, and I'm done with it. Psalm 68. Tonight, I want to look at three things. The culture that's around us, the caretaker, that's the role of a single parent, and then the church. It is the phenomenon of the culture, this new phenomenon that has created this new role, this new function of being a single parent. Now, we've always had, by the way, single parents. It's nothing new in and of itself. There's always been spouses who have died, leaving the children with the other spouse. There has always been divorce in every culture, eventually. But what is new is the extent to which single parenting has arisen these days. Now, I've done this before, and I want to do it again tonight, is to compare two cultures. The culture of the Bible, at least, pre- and New Testament setting, the Greco-Roman culture, and the modern culture, because they are strikingly similar in just the way they pan out, they flow, and how they look in this area. I found it interesting in going back that for the first 520 years of Roman culture, there is not one single recorded incidence of a divorce. Now, we don't know if that's accurate. We don't know if they were covering it up, but at least what is recorded for the first 520 years is not a single recorded instance of divorce. And the first divorce that we see in Roman annals on record was a guy by the name of Spurius Ruga. In 234 BC, divorced his wife because she could not produce offspring. That was the grounds for divorce. And after that year, 234 BC, we see a huge rise in the divorce rate in the Roman Empire. Why the change? Well, there's many factors. One of the big factors is that the Romans conquered the Greeks. The Greeks were very immoral, generally. And so the new culture adopted the old culture values, permeated the new culture of the Roman Empire. It got so bad that according to one historian, he tells of a woman who identified the years of her life by the names of her husbands. There were that many. There was a Roman jest at the time that said, marriage brings only two happy days. First, when the husband clasps his wife to his breast, and the day second, when he lays her in the grave. Now, that kind of a setup produced many single-parent families eventually in the Roman Empire. Something else occurred. During the first century AD, there was quite a bit of civil war activity in the Roman Empire, which caused the death of many husbands, the rise of many widows, and few men who were eligible to be remarriage partners in a second marriage to raise the children. On top of that, kids were regarded as legally free once the dad was out of the picture. If you remember, I mentioned it twice. There was a Roman law called the patria potestas, or the absolute dictatorial authority of a father over his children, his family. Well, once the father was gone, those children were regarded as legally free of any control, much like emancipated slaves. So all of those factors put together caused a huge rate in single-parent families in the latter part of the Roman Empire. It could be that Timothy, and we're going to get to his story in 2 Timothy 1, that Timothy had this issue. He was from this background. It could be that his father left and that he was technically free and was raised spiritually by his mother. So factors like divorce, war, adultery, plus something we didn't mention and we can't because of the time, is there was a fueling of a feminist movement at the latter part of the Roman Empire. All of that created an unstable environment for children. Now, let's move to today's culture. And I'm going to rattle off to you, unfortunately, statistics. And here's the bad thing about statistics. You can detach from them. They're just numbers. I want you to try as best as you can to get behind the pathos of these numbers, the emotion that's behind them. Here they are. From 1960 to 1990, the increase in America of single-parent families, it has arisen 215%. That's from 60 to 90. Since 90 up till today, add another 13% increase to that. Now, there's several factors for our single-parent situation in America. You already know what they are. Divorce rate and the rate of children being born out of wedlock. We've talked about divorce on a number of occasions. The chances of a divorce are 1 out of 2. Unfortunately, that's inside as well as outside the church. According to the U.S. Census, the Bureau Census, 2.5 million divorces happen every year in our country. 2.5 million. According to the distinguished historian Lawrence Stone, quote, the scale of marital breakdown in the West since 1960 has no historical precedent. Did you hear that? That's quite a statement. The marital breakdown in the West since 1960 has no historical precedent. We're worse than the Romans, he's saying. Then there's births out of marriage. Those have increased 450% since 1960 to 1990 in that 30-year stretch. Add another 19% for the last decade up till today. So here's the long and short of it. That means that tonight in America, there are 11.9 million single parents in our country. That means that 28% of all of the children in America, some 20 million under the age of 18, are being raised by a single parent. That happens to be 3 times the amount of single parent families in 1960, which was 9%. That's where we are. Now, some single parents are moms, some are dads. Some have had a spouse die, some have been divorced from their spouses. All of them have the same thing in common. They alone, by themselves, are raising those children. Something else to note. In the last 3 years, The number of single mothers in our country have not increased substantially in percentage. There's about 9.8 million single moms. There hasn't been a substantial increase of moms. There has, in the last 3 years, though, been a 25% increase in single dads in our country. So that 1/6 of all single parents in America are dads. That's a new phenomenon. In other words, what they're telling us is there's more women. There used to be more men, but there's an increase of women walking out of relationships, leaving even the children. There's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 49. I'm going to read it to you. Because the people in Israel were saying at the time, God has forsaken us. God has forgotten all about us. This wonderful Father in heaven has left us. We're toast. Doesn't really say that, but it says something close to that. And God responds, can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for a child she has born? Even if these forget, yet not I will forget. In other words, God uses what we would typically see as absolutely unthinkable. A mother walking away from her children. Can a mother, God says, forget her nursing child? I wish I could say no. But that unthinkable is happening more and more. Now, we should also just mention that in all of that, there's some great people that are raised by single parents. Great ones. Sir Isaac Newton, the mathematician and scientist, was raised by a single mother. Economist Alan Greenspan, child raised in a single parent family. Baseball player Ricky Henderson, actor Tom Cruise, all have one thing in common, single parent families. But having said that, what many of us in nuclear families, two parent families, don't see is all of the emotional pain behind the scenes of all that. You know, we might flippantly say, yeah, but look, some great people have come out of it. But tonight, just get behind the pain a little bit more and the understanding of the issue. You see, single parents listening understand the issue. Others of us don't. So I want to give you the testimony of a woman by the name of Christine Wood. And she says, my last childhood memory of my father was seeing him handcuffed and led away by the police. I was 8 years old. This traumatic event thrust me and my three siblings into the care of our alcoholic mother. The only roof she could put over our heads was the basement ceiling of our grandparents' home. Despite feelings of inadequacy and loneliness, she tried hard to raise her children as a single parent, managing to stay sober. But after 10 years of sobriety, she was diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. Now, not all stories are like that. Here's a more typical one. Lydia, a never-married mother of an 8-year-old girl, daughter named Carla, gets asked these questions, she says, perpetually. Do you love Daddy? Why doesn't Daddy ever call? Doesn't Daddy love me? Mommy, can I search for Daddy someday? Susan Wilkinson writes these words, my children's prayers once resonated with faith and innocence until their father became ill and died. Then their prayers changed. No longer did their words reflect belief that God is great and God is good. They were more like, if God is great, couldn't he have healed Daddy? If God is good, wouldn't he have healed Daddy? That's reality. We are told that the steps a child goes through when there is an absent parent by death or by divorce, abandonment, is very similar to the experiences any one of us would go through when somebody dies who's been very close to us. The same steps Elizabeth Kubler-Ross once edited out as typical responses are responses for children. Shock, despair, depression, anger, fear of rejection are all emotions that must be listened to by very lonely parents who themselves have been rejected or left or have had somebody die. It's probably safe to say that, at least by and large, single parents are the most hurting, often lonely people in any congregation. Now, we're going to consider what to do about that. We're going to actually see it in the text, but I want you to look at two examples from the Bible of single parents, one in the Old, one in the New Testament. First is a widow. The second is Timothy's mother and grandmother. 1 Kings chapter 17 is the widow in a town called Zarephath. Now, the death of her husband thrusts her into a brand new function. She is now a single mother. Let me tell you what's going on. The prophet Elijah has just declared, if you can do that, a drought. It worked, by the way. He declared a drought. It didn't rain a drop for three and a half years in Israel, which brought a famine into the land. Now, why did this happen? Because the king of Israel, Ahab, and his wife Jezebel worshipped a Phoenician god by the name of Baal, who was the sun god and the rain god. What better judgment than to actually stop the rain, because they thought that's the only one that can give the rain, so in judgment, stop it. All your prayers are useless. You'll finally see that God is the Lord. So that happened, but everybody suffered because of it. Elijah was sent by God to a little town just 9 miles south of present-day Sidon on the Mediterranean coast, the town of Zarephath, a Phoenician town, to a widow of all people, a single mom. Verse 8. The word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." Now, this is strange, because widows, especially in those days, were very poor, and the first ones to starve and suffer during a famine would be widows. So God sends him to a widow? Look at verse 10. So he arose. He went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." Common courtesy, common request. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread." Notice that, the Lord your God. I don't know where she stood with God at this point. "I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in, prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did accordingly to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. There's something I discovered in searching and sifting through all the commentators in this passage. Almost all the commentators make a huge issue about how Elijah's faith was being tested. What about the widow's faith?
God can use single parents for his purposes just as much as anyone else. So don't feel discouraged. Seek him, and you'll be amazed by what he'll do in your life. Now, here's a brief word from Skip about how you can come alongside the connection to make a difference in the lives of others.
Hey, I've got a question for you. If you could dramatically change someone's life for the better, would you do it? Changing lives through the teaching of God's Word is what the connection is all about. God is at work in countless ways through the connection to touch people's lives in your town, the nation, and even the world. Maybe he's even used it in your life as you were driving down the road thinking about one of the biggest problems in your life, when suddenly, out of nowhere, the answer came in one of our radio broadcasts. The Lord is using the connection in many ways, not just to help you, but to reach so many more people. And the best part is, you get to be part of the work he's doing through the connection. giving a gift may not seem like a radical, life-changing thing, but it is. We depend on the gifts of listeners like you to keep the connection moving forward. Here's how you can partner with us today.
Make your donation at connectiononline.org/give or call 800-922-1888. We are so grateful for the support you give us. Tomorrow on The Connection, Skip continues to look at the single parent home, and we learn about how influential a single parent can be.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.